Chapter 8, verse 15 of the Bhagavad Gita.
So we are in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And last week we have talked about, we discussed the 13th and the 14th verses. In the 13th verse we heard about the glory of Om, or the Lord's name, and what all it represents. The Lord says that one who chants Om or any mantra which has my name and remembers me constantly, when he gives up this body, he reaches me. And by giving up this body, it can mean at the time of death or even while alive, when this individual gives up their body identification, their ego, then he or she becomes one with me. And that is what we find in the lives of these great saints and prophets. While living, they became one with God. And then in the 14th verse, we have a very practical demonstration where he says that you have to put your mind constantly on me, daily. Daily remember me, constantly remember me. And for such an individual who remembers me constantly, tasyaham sulabah partha, I am very easy. It's not that you have to sit in one position for thousands of years or sit in the Himalayas in meditation. All you have to do is just remember the Lord, chant his name, remember him with love. And for such an individual, it is not difficult. So when all my energies, all my mental faculties are turned towards him, I continue to do my work, whatever work I have been assigned by the Lord, but do it as his service, do it as his seva. And whatever result I get as a result of my effort, I do not crib about it. Why do I get this problem? Why do I? It is all the Lord's prasad. It is his grace. And with that attitude, when you accept everything that comes to you, then such a person, for him, he says, I am very easy. I am not very difficult. You don't have to, you know, struggle for years and years. You will get me very quickly. So now in the verse number 15, you know, we are all very profit motivated. You know, why should I do it? What am I going to get out of it? What is in it for me? Looking out for number one. You know, we have all these phrases, you know, that why should, like when people are coming to the Gita class, why should I come here? What am I getting out of it? I could be, you know, relaxing at home or going for a picnic or watching TV. So what is the benefit? And every time, anything we do, you know, so like, there's always the question, why should I do it? Like Swamiji in his commentary says that there is this young boy and his father says, you know, you need to do PhD. So why should I do PhD? What will I get? Well, after you do PhD, you can become a researcher and you can help mankind. He said, researchers, they don't make any money. You know, how much do they make? I don't want to be. What do you want to be? I want to be a weapon smuggler. Why? Because there are 60 places, there is war going on in the world, and I can, you know, distribute weapons, and that I'll make a lot more money. That's profitable. This PhD, professorship, I don't want to waste my time. So here also, the student may have got this idea. The student doesn't ask, but the teacher anticipating the question that what is in it for me? Why should I sit for meditation with my eyes closed? And then constantly remember him and then, you know, try to be a good person and do good deeds and help everybody and not hurt anyone. And I have to be constantly alert. It's too much. Bahut mehnat hai. I don't want to do all that. What am I going to get out of it? So here is the answer, what we will get out of it. So this answers why we should be on the spiritual path. So verse number 15. Mamupetya punarjanma. Dukhalayam ashashvatam.
Dukhalayam ashashvatam.
Napnuvanti mahatmanah.
Napnuvanti mahatmanah.
Samsiddhim paramam gatah.
Samsiddhim paramam gatah.
So, mam upetya. Lord says, me upetya, having obtained, having reached, having come to me. Such an individual, punarjanma, Punar puna means again, janma means birth. Again, the person does not take another birth. Where? In this world which he describes as, the world he is describing as dukh alayam. Alayam means house, dukha means sorrow. So this house of sorrow, so he describes this world as a house of sorrow. And then it's not only a house of sorrow, but even if there is a little joy, he says it is ashashvatam. Shashvatam means permanent. Ashashvatam means impermanent. So this is a house of joy and a house of sorrow. And even if you have joys, they are temporary joys. So why does he call that? We'll talk about it. And then he says, such a person, Mahatmana, that Mahatma, that great soul, Mahatma, great soul, na apnuvanti, does not come back to this world of sorrow. When he has gotten some siddhim means the highest siddhi. Siddhi means the accomplishment. Paramam, paramam means the highest accomplishment. Sama, he has been firmly established in that highest accomplishment. Gata, having reached, having got to this highest goal, then this person does not come back to this world of sorrow. So like we said, you know, we understand, okay, this world is sorrowful. But why? You know, we say, well, world is not that bad. You know, yeah, there may be some problems. Yeah, I have some physical problems. I have some stress in my life. Maybe somebody praising me, somebody overall. But, you know, it's not that bad. I mean, you know, I have a house. I have a family. I have a children. And why are they calling it dukkha? And what are the kind of dukkhas that come to us? So they say that there are three kinds of sorrows that can come. That's why in the beginning we say Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. We always chant Shanti three times. Why do we say Shanti three times? Because there are three kinds of sorrows that come to us in this world. The one is the from the atmosphere, from the environment. You know, earthquakes, thunder, lightning, rain, floods, tsunamis, tornadoes, volcanoes. So all natural forces that can cause problems. So that is number one. The second problem comes from my neighbors, my near and dear ones, my family, my husband, my wife, my child, my grandfather, my uncle, my nephew, my neighbor, you know, my friends, my co-workers, so my boss. So these are problems that come from people around me. And then the third and the most important is problems that come from within. The stress and the strain and the sorrows and the problems. So when we chant Shanti three times, we say, may there be peace in the cosmos. May there be not sorrow and not problems in the cosmos. May there be peace in my neighborhood. And may there be peace within my heart. But, okay, we understand, yeah. But, you know, there are... things are going well too. You know, I have a job. Yeah, today you have a job, but tomorrow you may not, as we find right now in America. So many people are without jobs, or they have their hours have been cut and your businesses are down. I was talking to a physician from Orange County, and he says that they have noticed a very major drop-off in their practice because people have lost insurance. There is a great, you know, degree of unemployment. So job is there today, it may not be there. A person, I love somebody today, that person tomorrow may not love me. I build a beautiful house on the golf course and I'm very happy. Ah, I have a beautiful house and gives me joy for a while. But then I have to start maintaining the house, keep it clean and hire a gardener and, you know, this and the work. And then the bigger sorrow is that my brother-in-law, my husband's brother and his wife, I can't stand her. And they build a bigger house, you know, double the size, you know, it takes two lots. I have one lot on the golf course, he has two lots. And she has this giant house, and then every time I go to visit, she'll show me, you know, this house is so much work. And every time now this house that used to give me joy is giving me sorrow. So that is why they're saying that joy is, this world is temporary. You know, even if you get joys, it is temporary. Yeah, even if you get sorrows, it is temporary. But the fact of the matter is that in this world, you're constantly subjected to joy and sorrows. And if you ask anybody, do you want temporary joy or permanent joy? You know, do you want joy only for today, or you want joy for the rest of this year or the rest of your life? Nobody will say, I want temporary joy only for today. Tomorrow, God, you can give me sorrow. No, I want to be joyful till the day I die. And even then, I want to die peacefully. People say, God, take me peacefully. Let me not suffer. So we want permanent joy, but we are unfortunately looking for it in the wrong things. We are looking for permanent joy in temporary things. Whether it's a house, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a job, position, power, business, health, everything is temporary. So temporary things can only give you temporary joy. If you want permanent joy, look for it in something that is permanent, that is unchanging, that has always been there, that is there, and that will always be there in the future. And that is the Lord. That's what he says, that one who reaches me, then does not need to come back to this world of sorrow. Because why did we take birth? Because we had unfulfilled desires. We had unfulfilled vasanas. And because of these vasanas, we all took birth. And we are now going through this world doing our duty and, you know, joys and sorrows and suffering. But a saint, one who has reached the Lord, then does not need to come back. Or even if he functions in the world, it's not that the saint in this functioning in the world suddenly will not have problems. They have physical problems. You know, we heard about saints who were crucified, saints who were tortured. But they have gone beyond the body. You know, they also have, you know, they, somebody loves them, somebody criticizes them, somebody praises them. But, you know, but they have gone beyond it. They love everybody. They don't say, I will only love you if you love me back. Because they have identified with that supreme consciousness, the Lord in everybody. And for them, they have gone beyond the joys and sorrows. The example Swami Chinmayananda in his tape, he gives, it's like, say, I am in a dream, you know, and in the dream I am suffering. I am very poor, and I am in this hut, and I have my wife and my children, and I am crying, and I am so miserable. And then I wake up, and then I realize, that was just a dream, you know, that was not real. Now, say if I'm given an opportunity to go back into that dream, having that knowledge that this was only a dream, now if I go back into the dream, I will have the same wife and the same children and the same house and the same sorrows, but I will realize that it is just a dream, it is temporary. It, actually, I am not this dreamer, I am that waker who at this moment is playing a part in the dream. So, having understood that, then such an individual goes through life with a very, very different attitude. There's actually a very, very beautiful story. It's a little long, but it illustrates this point very well. This very, very nice story. They said there was this kingdom, and this king had a son, and the son had a very peculiar birthmark on his shoulder. And in childhood, somehow the son was playing in the garden, and got kidnapped. He was kidnapped by some robbers and they took him away. They were unhappy with the king or whatever. So this child was kidnapped. And this king died. Now they had no heir. They had no son. They had nobody to inherit the kingdom. So they said, you know, we somehow need to find out if that son is still alive. So they sent out the CIA and FBI and everybody tracked him down. And finally, they were able to track the robbers and they found one of them. And they said, you know, this person, what we heard, that he has become a beggar. He ran away from the robbers' kingdom and he didn't know, because he was kidnapped as he was a child. He didn't know he was a prince and he has become a beggar. So they start searching in the beggar community. And finally, inquiring, they find that there is one beggar who has that mark on his shoulder. And then they find out his age and his age matches and they said, yeah, this is that same prince who at this moment has become a beggar. So the royal minister, the prime minister says, you know, this is the boy. So he goes there in his royal coach and he parks in front of that beggar's where he's begging for money. And he's surprised. He says, what is this coach doing? You know, normally the king's people come in trucks. They put us in the truck and just herd us away, you know, they don't want us or they beat us. Why is this? And then this minister gets out and says, sir, please enter. He said, whom are you talking to? I'm talking to you. Please enter the coach. He said, this must be some new trick. You know, they're trying to take us and put us far away. He said, no, sir, your highness, please come. He said, highness? Who is he calling highness? So minister, he sits in the car and he's going and he says, and then he finds the car going towards the palace. He said, where are they taking me? So the car enters the palace and everybody is saluting. And he's very surprised. And they reach in, they open the door. Sir, please come out. There are these beautiful girls who are welcoming him. They have rose petals on the floor. And they say, please enter. And he's still surprised. You know, he has this beggar's clothes and this beggar's little begging bowl. And he's walking on that rose petal. He doesn't understand what's going on. They take him to his royal chamber. And they say, sir, this is your royal chamber. He said, what's going on? Please tell me. So then they say, you are actually our king's son. You have this birthmark and this is your age and you were kidnapped. And so from today, you are the king of this kingdom. He said, oh, okay, that's nice. He was a smart, he had street smarts, because he had been with beggars, been with robbers. He was very smart. He knew how to adjust. So then they take off his dirty clothes and things and they put it in a cupboard and he gets nice new clothes. All his servants gave him a bath and bring him nice food, and he starts enjoying that. But he became a good king because he had seen the world. You see, he had not been sheltered. He knew what are the sorrows of the people. So he became a very good king and good administrator and started running the kingdom very well. A few years passed by, and then suddenly one day he opened that cupboard and he found his begging clothes, that robe he used to have and that begging bowl. And he became nostalgic. He said, I'm missing my friends, who were there. Let me go see them. So what he does, he calls the minister early in the morning and he says, come at 5 a.m. and bring my royal coach. So the car comes and he's hiding those clothes in a packet. He doesn't want the minister to see them. And he goes early in the morning, it's still dark. And he says, near the street where he used to beg, he tells the minister, leave me here and go away. Minister said, what about your secret service and your protection? He said, I don't want any guards. Get out and don't come back till 7 o'clock tonight or 8 o'clock till it gets dark. The minister is worried, but it's a royal order. He cannot disobey. So minister leaves. So he goes behind a tree and puts on his robe, that old beggar's robe, on top of the king's clothes. So he looks like a beggar because nobody can see the royal clothes. And he has this begging bowl and he walks into the same street. And people look at him and they say, man, where were you? All his friends, we thought you were dead. And some people say, good riddance to bad rubbish. We thought you were gone. We didn't know you're alive still. You're back. And he goes and sits back in his same place where he used to sit. And nobody else, and he starts begging. And people pass by and somebody gives him a quarter and, he accepts it. Somebody curses him, calls him, you stupid, worthless beggar. You should go out and work. What are you doing? You're such a lazy bum. At the end of the day, when the begging is over, he takes his few coins and he takes his thing and he goes back. And that night he waits for the minister. He comes in the car, takes off his clothes, puts them in the packet and goes back. Now this beggar was the same individual few years back. Before he knew he was a king, he was begging in that place. And on some day, if he got, few rupees or a few dollars, some money, then he would be very happy. Ah, I got money. And if he didn't get anything all day, he would be miserable. If somebody, helped him or was nice to him, he felt good. If somebody called him a lazy bum, he felt bad. But that same individual, having understood that I am the king, then he can sit in that beggar's role and then he doesn't care whether he gets a quarter or not for the king. He says, all this money belongs to me. Whoever is giving this money is mine. I am the owner of the whole kingdom. And so whether somebody gives him a quarter or doesn't give him a quarter, whether somebody praises him or calls him a lazy bum or yells at him or calls him stupid, it doesn't matter because he says, I am the king. If these people don't know who I am and that's why they are... But for him, it doesn't matter whether I get a few pennies or not. So that is our condition. We are like the beggar. We are begging from the world for joy. Give me a little love. Give me a little praise. Give me a little money. Give me a little gift. If I don't get a gift on Valentine's Day. Oh my God. It's like the whole world crashed. So we look for, we beg to the world for joys. You know, we are little beggars. You know, give me this little job and give me this little promotion and give me this little success. So we are like that beggar who, when we get things, I'm very happy today. I got what I wanted, and tomorrow I didn't get it. Oh, I'm so sad. So in life, we go through as beggars, as asking for the world that give me a little joy, make me happy. That's what Swami Chinmayananda says. He says, don't put the key of your happiness in somebody else's pocket so that the person can anytime turn the key and make you happy or unhappy. But that is what we do. So a person who has realized this truth and has understood that I am that consciousness, I have become one with that Lord, and I am actually that divinity, Aham Brahmasmi. I am that divinity, I am that Lord, I am that consciousness who at this moment is playing this role. I have this body, this mind, this intellect, and this role of Anil or Pragati or Hansa or whatever role I have been assigned by the Lord, I am playing that role. And I play that role to the best of my ability. Like that king acted exactly like the beggar. He didn't say, I am the Royal Highness playing the role of a beggar. He was given the role of a beggar. He played that role. But inside he knew, because he had the royal clothes, inside he knew that I am the king. And so I do not need to beg. And that's what these saints and these prophets have understood. Even though they play the role of whatever Jesus or Buddha or Shankaracharya or Swami Chinmayananda or whatever role, but inside they have the robes of their divinity, and they have experienced that. And so for them, the world cannot make them happy or unhappy, because they have discovered that supreme happiness. That's what they say, that once you have experienced that inner joy, then such a person cannot be, or you can throw all kinds of problems at him. Another place he says that dukhena, you know, gurunena dukhena. Even the greatest sorrow you can inflict on these wise people, and they are not affected. They do not stop loving even people who torture them. They love them. That's what Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because he had love for everybody, and that is what we see in the lives of these great saints, that you cannot dissuade them. You cannot take them away from their situation of love and compassion and kindness. And having discovered the inner joy, then they become a source of joy for everybody. And that's what we find, that these prophets, you know, they have spread so much joy. You know, all the Bible and the Quran and the Bhagavad Gita and the Guru Granth Sahib and the teachings of Buddha, even today, 2,000, 5,000 years later, give us joy. Why? Because these people have discovered the joy within, and then they share the joy. That's why they say you should always be grateful to your spiritual teachers and your masters for all that knowledge that they have given us. And then he says that they are not born again. Now, why do they say that? In the olden days, people used to think, it will be great if I never die, you know, if I live immortal. That used to be, you know, amritatvam, I want to be immortal. And then people realized to be immortal is a curse. It's not a joy. Say, I never die. So 200 years, 300 years I'm living. My children have died, my grandchildren have died, my wife, my brother, my parents, everybody has died, and I'm still living, you know. Old and, you know, living in one corner, can't see, can't hear, can't eat, have a feeding tube, and that is miserable. You know, after some time, to live forever is a sorrow. So that's why they said, living forever we don't want. We do not want to be born again. Because the problems start when you are born. Right from birth, you know, from childhood, you have the diaper problems, and then you have, you know, you're hungry, you know, you're crying for food, and your mom comes and changes the diaper because she thinks, you know, you don't know, the mother doesn't know why this child is, so she tries milk, and then you grow up, and then you go become a teenager, and then problems. You know, you are angry with the world, you are angry with your parents, you are angry with everybody. Then you become a young man and, you know, I love this woman, I love this girl, but she doesn't love me, she loves somebody else. And the one whom I don't love is, you know, chasing after me. And then you go into that, get a job and a business, and then all this competition and cutthroat, and then you become middle-aged, and then your children, teenagers, are giving you problems, and they're not listening to you, and old, of course, old ages, of course. So they say life is, you know, constant series of problems. So the goal of spirituality is to reach that state of immortality while you are alive. While you are alive, you experience that oneness with Him, become one with Him. Know that you are. That's what the scriptures say, that all of us are that immortality. None of us is condemned, none of us is cursed, none of us is a sinner. All of us have that potential to become Jesus, to become Buddha, to become Swami Chinmayananda. It's the potential is not tapped. See, they experience that because they put their effort. So he says, one who reaches me, then that person's life is total joy. Even when he sees his body declining, he says, yeah, the body is not me. Body will get old. Even his mind, some days there is joy, some days there is praise, some days there is sorrow. He remains unaffected because, so he says, one who has reached that highest siddhi, then that person does not need to come back. See, we came back because we had some desires, some unfulfilled vasanas, but they have reached that highest state where they become desireless. It's not that they become useless. It is not that they stop working. In fact, they work with more emphasis, with more love, with more compassion, because the Lord is with them. So their actions are multiplied many times. So he says, Mom, that's why he says, make this your goal of life, to reach me, to know me, the Lord says, and then your life is total joy, there is no sorrow, and you do not need to come back. Yes, some of these great prophets do come back, but they come back because they come back out of a compassion, a desire to serve, and that's what the Lord may periodically send them. He may send them as Raman Maharishi or Shankaracharya or Saint Francis or... So these great saints and prophets come to serve us, to help us. But they come out of choice, while we come out of involuntarily. So that is what he says. One who reaches me does not need to be born again, having reached that highest siddhi. So that is the benefit of getting this knowledge. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha. Sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kashchit dukha bhavet. Om shanti shanti shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.